You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, Prince Rupert is experiencing one of the largest improvement projects in the city's history, with dozens of kilometers of water pipes being replaced, as well as several housing projects underway, not to mention the major industrial projects filling up Ridley Island. But despite the long-awaited improvements, what pressures does this rapid transformation put on the city of 12,000 and its aging infrastructure? Today, we speak with Mayor Herb Pond about where things are at, 3 years into a massive infrastructure improvement project, what he's hearing from residents as we enter another tourist season, which will see one of the largest volumes of tourists to Prince Rupert ever, and where the city is planning on siting a new fire hall, which is also being asked to support industry operations if needed. That's coming up on CICK News right here. Stay with us.
You know, Rupert's a tale of two cities right now. It really is, right? We have, provincial, national, and even international attention. $3 billion worth of investment being made on terminals and growth out on Ridley Island and forecast for a lot of jobs in the very near future. All of that activity, growing cruise ship industry, you know, just lots and lots and lots to get excited about. And this little town of 12,000 people trying to keep up and catch up, right? You know, we've been handed this incredible platform from a previous generations of a real true small city gem, but the infrastructure that supports that has aged out, and it's aged out largely all at once because it in many ways went in large degrees all at once. And so it's no secret we've been working on renewing the entire water system for a decade or more. It goes back to the replacement of the water dam, which was over 100 years old, and that was a success of the previous council. This council, on getting in, realized that if we did not repair water pipes, we would be in serious trouble as a community, and so that became our focus. And as you know, we raised $200 million, some of it through borrowing locally, but most of it through provincial and federal grants, and we are in the midst of replacing those water pipes. It was a messy year last year around town as we dug up water pipes. And while we're in the ground, we're as best we can also replacing the sewer lines, which will set us up for eventual sewage treatment. But and then of course with that comes a pretty extensive paving program and sidewalk program as you start to put things all back together and put them back hopefully better than they were when we first pulled it all apart. That is going to pick up even more speed this season as what we call the big project moves its way through the community, replacing those most critical pieces of infrastructure. While city staff are doing that with contractors and everything else, council's focus has been on raising the next huge sum of money, which will be required for water treatment. And we're not there yet, but we've got good line of sight on a number of programs that should help us get to water treatment. And then we can basically, you know, put a ribbon and a bow on that and say, okay, the water system for Prince Rupert is not only updated and upgraded, but it's better than it's ever been. It'll probably take us another 3 or 4 years to get there. Part of that is an interim measure. I mean, it's interim. It'll help reduce the number of boil waters that we're on in this while we're going through this process, which is adding a chlorination facility in the community. We currently chlorinate the water at source. But by the time some of it worms its way through old and sometimes oversized pipes, we end up with the chlorine count going too low in the water, and so, you know, that's just another help along the way as we go. So lots and lots and lots of focus on water. I know for people it's frustrating because while we're doing the work, it sometimes trigger boils water advisories, and when we've done the work, we're back to where we started, which is water comes out of the pipe, and we're lucky we have a great water source. The water that we get is good and it's drinkable, and it's certainly the water that I drink every day of the week. But it's going to be great when we finally get over that final hurdle on water. And I'm going to pause there. There's lots of other things going on, yeah. But I've talked so much about the water. I'll breathe in and let you ask whatever you want.
Yeah, that's great, Mayor Pond. You know, it's curious. There are other things, you know, I want to chat about because there's you know, not just water issues and water replacement going on. There's a lot of other things happening in the community. But I just want to ask, you know, this is not your first roundabout as mayor in Rupert. And I'm curious to know, you know, your first go around, you know, in the 2000s. To now, you know, seeing the not only just this type of project ongoing, because this is kind of foundational to the city and the infrastructure, but, you know, it just seems like there's a lot more activity going on in Rupert. You know, I was there on a double cruise ship day. It seemed like, you know, a lot of businesses were taking in quite a number of people. I stopped in at a couple of cafes and restaurants that seemed to be more full than usual on a, you know, a Thursday or a Wednesday afternoon for lunch. You know, from the 2000s to now, you know, what do you see as the big takeaway, the big improvement from what the city was to where it is now?
Yeah. Wow. My last time in the office was 2002 to 2008. The pulp mill had closed. Fishing industry was collapsing. Even grain and coal was sputtering. And so it was a case of the mode that we were in at the city was fending off bankruptcy. We were literally cutting costs in the millions of dollars just to survive, and trying to find a new economy that would create family supporting jobs. I mean, we massively depopulated. We went from probably 19,000 down to 10,000 people. Intergenerational wealth was wiped out. People couldn't sell their homes. It was just incredible disaster. And in that same era, the Port of Prince Rupert was going through exactly the same thing. I think they had 7 or 8 employees. Their fortunes had really fallen poorly. And so the focus then became, as we put our efforts together, we need to get the economy of Prince Rupert going before we can do anything else. And that push became the whole impetus for the drive for the container terminal. And the container terminal has been a massive success. CN made massive investments to make that happen. The province, feds, the container terminal operator, all. And so we went from a case where there were several, maybe a dozen or two longshore workers in Prince Rupert. Many had moved away to Vancouver to go get work. And we're now, you know, probably 1,000 longshore workers are in that range, and anticipated to expand massively. All those investments enabled the other terminals that have opened up, the propane export facilities and all the other things that we're seeing, all became possible because of the investments that were made back then. So that era, trying to not go bankrupt as a city, trying to reinvent the economy. Coming in now, we're at the opposite end of that. The economy is going full bore. There are jobs. We are trying to get ready for the families that need to move here to fill those jobs and renew the infrastructure and create the kind of community that will attract the next workforce. It's a completely different change. Both have been a lot of work. I got to say that this is much more enjoyable work. The problems I have are pretty nice problems.
No doubt. You know, on that note, you know, of creating a space and a community that's welcoming, that is a place where people want to come to live, to bring their families. You know, a lot of times folks remark about to me about, you know, the wonderful waterfront, how much it's improved over the years, the trail system that has expanded. And, you know, going down the list of other projects that are happening in the community, there seems to be a big emphasis on improving the stair replacements over town, you know, all over town, because we do have some big hills, you know, that connect neighborhoods. There's the Mariners Park resurfacing and looking at redesigning some of the memorials there. So tell me a little bit about that piece. You know, what is the importance of putting that investment in place to see about expanding and renewing a lot of those spaces that is really the piece that attracts and keeps people in the community?
So first of all, kudos to different community groups and others that have fundraised for a good deal of that. You know, while we've been head down on the core infrastructure, we've got to do what only we can do, right? Nobody else is going to replace sewer lines and water lines and those. So we need to be incredibly focused on getting that done. While we've been doing that, with some assistance from our staff have been involved in it for sure, but other groups have been incredibly active. Cane Island and Trail Society, for example, and the Rushbrook Trail, and now the Cloudberry Trail, you know, that, along with industry partners, making those things happen so that we can stay focused on the core stuff that we need to get done. Along with that, you're absolutely right. The Mariners Park, we were able to attract a really substantial grant to redevelop the park around partially around the theme of the Japanese internment, and to be able to tell the story of a huge part of Prince Rupert's history. I mean, we were a large center of Japanese workers that unfortunately during World War II were removed from the area. And so it's an important story to tell. So that money, along with some other money, is going to help rebuild Mariners Park and realign Mariners Park. We're also in... and this money that's been around for a little bit, working together with Kakatla and the city of Prince Rupert, and looking for other partners to redevelop our waterfront, some of our waterfront areas. The planning's quite active in that. And so absolutely, we're renewing sidewalks throughout the city. We're doing the work that we can as best we can to present to the rest of the world the image of a place that you're going to want to come and play, but you're also going to want to think about coming into living here.
You know, speaking of which, and I do have one other question, but we touched upon this just before we started recording. But, you know, the other day, there were two cruise ships in town. One of them was a Virgin Wireless cruise ship that had Sir Richard Branson on board, and he came into town, you know, and it seems like a little thing, but in the grand scheme of where Prince Rupert sits in this global context, because it is a global port, you know, seeing that tourism come in on these ships, which I know we've talked about before, it's increased, you know, tenfold this year, seeing more than we have in many, many years. And, you know, to see that type of high-profile individual come into Rupert and, you know, have a meal, that apparently was one of the best that he's had. You know, what kind of exposure do you feel, and I guess even a sense of pride do you get from seeing that happen in, you know, let's face it, a small port on northern BC's coast? You know, this is punching above its weight.
Yeah, we're you know, 12,000, 13,000 people, and we get cruise ships dropping in with 2,000 or 3,000 people on board. It's pretty amazing. There's no question. I think almost everybody in town gets excited in seeing those cruise ships come. We love showing off our community. I've got to say, Dan, it's also really good for the region. While a lot of that activity, obviously happens close to the vessel, and the further you move away from the vessel, it becomes sparser and sparser. But there have been tours set up even as far as Terrace, people hopping on the train, going up to Terrace and coming back by bus. But more than that, what Alaska experienced was that roughly 30% of people that go to Alaska on a cruise return to Alaska as independent travelers within the next 5 years. And so I anticipate that a whole lot of those people that get off the boat in Prince Rupert discover a little taste of the region, are going to say to their spouse at some point in time or their significant other, hey, let's hop in a car, let's drive up to the region. And of course, doing that, they can't help but go through Smithers and Telqua and, you know, all the way through Morristown and on and on and on, and enjoy the entire region. And so I think it's, while Rupert gets to play its little role, but its role is within a much larger Northwest region, which is an incredible place to live.
Mayor Pond, one of the other things I just want to touch upon, because it's quite integral to the community, to all communities, and I know that this in particular has been on the list of projects to rebuild for some time, is a new fire hall in Prince Rupert. You know, we've seen the community expand as we've been talking about, new industries coming in, you know, to Watson Island, Ridley Island. You know, we're seeing this economic boom, so to speak, at the moment. And, you know, we're looking at a fire hall that is aging out, and it seems like it's on the list of priorities to see a new fire hall built. And in speaking with a few people about this, you know, it was pointed out that it's being discussed where it's going to be sited, and whether it'll be, you know, further out of town to help kind of deal with some of the support for the industries, or, you know, keep it closer to town, more centralized. Obviously, it's a big part of the community. Maybe give me a bit of an overview of where we at with the replacement of the fire hall that I know we're going to see very, very soon here in the next couple of years.
Yeah. Listen, just leading into that, I think it's really important to understand there is a long list of very expensive items still in front of us. While we've had incredible success at dealing with, you know, water up till now, we've got $75 million in water treatment. We literally have hundreds of millions of dollars in mandated sewage treatment coming up. We have two major bridges that are close to end of life that will need to be replaced, and the fire hall, and then, of course, rec facilities that were built 40, 50, 60 years ago. So lots and lots and lots of future work for future councils to keep their head down and you know, really keep eyes on priority. The fire hall itself, we're at a bit of a juncture, if you will, in the discussions, because you're absolutely right. The nature of firefighting in Prince Rupert has shifted. What we were set up for is a community fire department that also had in-town industries, you know, fish plants and those sorts of things. And the nature of those industries has changed dramatically, and location of those industries has changed dramatically. We now are shipping energy projects, you know, propane and other things, requires a whole different set of skills. So we've been, and the fire hall is definitely at end of life. There's some discussion as to whether it would survive an earthquake or whether we could get the fire trucks out in the event of an earthquake. So we are literally in discussions right now with industry, with the port, about whether we go our own way and manage a fire service that's meant for the community and the in-community light industry that's around us. We will always respond to fires, but we'll be limited to what we can do in industrial fires if we don't make some significant investments. So it could either be that industry looks after itself. Way back when the pulp mill in Prince Rupert, the pulp mill had its own fire service. We may go that route, or we may combine forces. And we're going through the exercise now of determining what's most advantageous, both for the community and for industry. And I imagine within the next year or two, that direction will be determined.
Okay, Mayor Pond, we'll leave it there for now. But as usual, I very much appreciate your time and giving us your insight. So good luck with these endeavors, and we'll check in soon.
Always good talking to you, Dan.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.